This is episode 5 of Behind Restaurant Life, or podcast number 5, or just number 5. So thanks for coming back, and welcome. So today, as you probably have noticed, we're going to do things a little differently in the sense of there was no intro. It's just me speaking right after the song instead of me speaking before the song and then after as well. I thought I'd switch it up. I thought it was becoming too mundane in the first 4 episodes doing it that way. Plus, it was the same recorded thing over and over. That's not good enough. So, what are we going to get into this time? Well, for today, I'm going to give you a little story, a little background, a little explanation of myself and some of my experiences, and give you a breakdown of some of the things that happened and where I fell out of love with food and beverage. So this episode is dedicated towards training and understanding of training and the misinterpretation of what training is and how training should be done. And then my assessment of where the level of training is currently at versus where it should be at in most food and beverage industries. Because training is layered in with expectation and customer always being right and those kind of things. So first, I'm going to give you a little bit of a breakdown on what it means to train somebody after you've gone through the interview process and you've hired them, and what it's like to train that person. Like I've said, my experience is I've been the trainee in the cashier position, just starting out and getting to learn the restaurant and the goals and the different aspects of it. And I've been the manager, the person hiring somebody to train them, to get them to understand the concept that they're coming into and to get them to know what it is that they're joining. So overall, I have both sides of this little venue, this little window, this little world. And in that, I'm going to try to layer my history with it and give you as much of a breakdown so you understand what is what I'm trying to do with the Behind Restaurant Life. So let's start with right after you've hired somebody and you bring them aboard and you begin the whole training process. I'm going to try to give you what most managers and general managers are thinking when they hire somebody, especially in food and beverage, because it's the same thing that most customers are thinking and most anybody who's not the person actually being hired is thinking. You better know your shit within a week. That's what most people are thinking when they're hired to this position, because it's explained in, you need to know what you're doing within 1 week. A, it's viewed as, oh, it's not that complicated. How can you not know? How is it within a week you can't grasp what it is? And it's also, oh, this is so easy. All you do is push buttons. Like, how is it you still don't know what you're doing? It's taking you more than a week. They have to actually train you. Well, here's the thing. If you honestly believe that all it is pushing buttons, then go away. Because, no, this isn't simply, oh, I pushed this button, now the food gets made, and I'm done. Because a cashier, as I've explained in other parts, has to know more than just that. In any quick service or fast casual restaurant where the concept is leaning towards fine dining in the sense that the food is of a higher level and the products used in the food are of a higher level, the understanding of what goes into a dish must be known just as much as being able to push the button of what dish a person wants to order. So this bullshit that all you do is push buttons is incomplete, because you do end up asking the cashier, oh, what's this like? What's in this? What's that? If you're asking those questions, that means that you understand that they're supposed to know these kind of things. In that, that means that the cashier has to learn these things. And in most restaurants and in most concepts, you're asking a person to learn anywhere from 10 to 25 dishes and their combinations. And also know they should learn what are the alterations to be made into those dishes. So this misguided expectation that within a week an employee, from the manager's perspective, should have a high level grasp of what it is what it is they were hired for, is wrong. And then the customers who view these employees who are brand new, who are just learning, who are just getting in there, if after a week they don't know, and their view is, oh my god, this person is an idiot, it's a misguided thought. Because the level of training that they're given isn't always enough. Like, they're being told, here's a handbook, and here, get in front of the tablet and just do. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, well, then we'll try again. If you don't again, then we'll try again. And if you don't again, well, then we don't need you anymore. Nothing is taken into consideration at the pace that someone understands and grasps things, or even in which way it's best to train them to understand the things that you are expecting them to know. Because food and beverage has been layered with the idea that one way of training is the best way to train everybody. There's rarely managers who adapt and change to the fact that every employee learns differently. Just like kids in school. Every kid learns differently. Not every kid can be taught the exact same way to do or answer or speak or write or any of that, because they're not going to grasp it the same way. I think that's lost when it comes to food and beverage. They don't adapt to the people that they're hiring. If you're hiring somebody whose understanding of certain things is higher, then your way of showing them and training them should be different than for somebody who isn't. And your expectation of their turnaround of that knowledge should also change with that. Now, that's just a cashier's position. That's usually someone who's not coming in with a lot of experience, if any experience at all. And that's someone who's coming into something that they've never done before. They've never been a cashier, they've never worked in that field, or it's usually these are the type of people you're hiring for that position. When you go above that and you start hiring in the supervisor / assistant manager / manager position, when you're hiring on those levels, expectations change. Training also changes. Like, there is more of a mandate to take more time in getting an understanding of the different things. Because the nuances of learning dishes and learning things that get changed and the way menus work and how different things were put together are given more grounded for managers and supervisors, because the expectation is their knowledge must be greater and it must be understood at a higher level. So yeah, there are positions there the training is a lot more intensive and your knowledge after the training is expected to be a lot more, and you're tested throughout and asked, what is this, how does this work, what are these things, like, what fits within this, what are the things of this concept that are at the highest level. Your training book and manuals and stuff are higher. I remember in the restaurant that I will not name because I'm not a douche, so we'll talk shit about that later. For right now, in one of the concepts that I worked for, my training as a assistant manager / supervisor was a 10-day process. 5 days front of the house. Actually, no. 4 days front of the house, 4 days back of the house, 2 days learning the process of ordering entering stuff and all those kind of things. In that time, when I say front of the house and back of the house, you had to work the line in different positions to learn different parts of the restaurant. And then in front of the house, you had to work in front of where the customers were to learn the positions of the people you were going to hire. So cashiers for the front / bussers for the back. It was the line guys and prep people. So you had to learn prep work, and you had to learn, you know, how to actually be on the line and put the orders together and put different menu items together. It doesn't mean you were always fully versed, because when a menu is as large as it is, even the line guys that have been working there for years, they'll keep a little menu with them on the side, and that menu will break down the different ingredients that are in each, you know, dish. And in that, the line guys will remember, oh, I don't remember this dish because it's not ordered as much, so I'm not going to remember that at the top of my head. Here I am. Let me look. Oh, it's that. Okay, let me put these things together. Boom, done. And then you go on from there. Oh, no, I hit that. I apologize. Yeah, my editing skills aren't too great, so I'm not going to be able to go back and alter that. I hit the mic. Sorry. No, but, so in this, as you can see, like, the line guys don't always have everything down all together at once, even if they've been there for a long time, because menus change, you bring in new items, you do different things. Some things don't sell as much, so when they get ordered, they don't get ordered as much, so it's not going to be as present in your head. Same thing goes for cashiers. Even if they've been there for a year, when menus change and you're altering the you know, the status quo, you're altering what you need to remember and which one you remember the most. And most concepts go through periodic changes, and they bring in old things or they take away something. It's just constant flux, because they want things that work, and they want to make sure that they're making the most money that they can, and they'll bring in different things to put them in as specials. So even though I was trained as a manager, as an assistant manager / shift leader, I'd come in with some experience before that of actually running a location from a different concept. Now, in this concept, this is where training, expectation, and interviews all culminated, where I have the most residual memory of everything that happened, because A, it's the most prominent one in my head, and B, it's the one where I went through the most flux in my years with them. So I started out as an assistant manager, and I started out as, you know, working nights, working weekends, rarely getting back-to-back days off, and, you know, it was good for me because it balanced out with me being able to take care of my son on the times that I didn't, and my schedule with his mother, so those things balanced out, and it worked out for life in that way. Now, this concept, after 3 months, one of the main reasons I was so adamant about wanting to join it was, A, the potential for growth was high. This was a concept that, in and of itself, the way it was delivering its food was great. The way it was showing its potential for growth was great. They already had lined up a second location, and they had an idea of where they wanted to expand to. So, and they were already thinking about a third location. So this was a concept that had one location, it's been there for a couple years, had a second location already lined up, and a third potential location in conversation. So if you look at it that way, the second location is supposed to open in a couple months, third location is a year out. So the potential to be in the higher echelon with the company was greater. So those are some of the things you look at when you're not just looking for a regular job or a day-to-day job. You're looking for a career in the industry. You know, and I'm coming from experience with running restaurants and running concepts and working and doing the ordering and hiring and doing all those kind of things. So I'm coming in with that experience. So I intentionally take a step back with this concept and work as an assistant manager, believing in the future growth potential. So, excuse me again. So, in this, I start seeing the possibility of where it could go long term. So, you know, after a couple months, I get that. I'm there. I'm going like, oh, shoot, you're about to open up the next concept. The gentleman who was my general manager at that time, who trained me, who showed me all the ropes, who gave me the breakdown of everything that was happening with the concept and walked me through everything, got a week's notice that he is to take over the new restaurant. The new restaurant has already been open for a month at around this time. I'm 3 months into working with the company, and this was back in 2015. I got hired in April. 3 months in, May, June, July. So at the end of July, beginning of August, 3-4 months in, boom, they've already been a month into their second. They hired somebody to be the general manager for their second location. After that, that stopped working. The general manager they hired for that second location bombed. Did horribly, just did not deliver. So the current general manager that we had at the first location, my boss, he was asked to move over to the new location, and I was asked to take over his position. Now, I get how the business works at some point, but at this point, I was still naive to the full scope of certain things. So my anger is never in, or my dismay with the concept is never in my acceptance of how much I got paid. It was my disbelief in their inability to keep their word. So I wasn't making much when I came in. It was a lot less than I was making with the concept before. So I took the hit understanding that there was a potential to make more later on. And that started happening. They offered me, here, we'll give you $3 more, but it's still hourly, we will put you salary after the next couple months. They didn't want to do it in the middle of the quarter that they were going through. Now I look back on it a year afterwards, and I go like, that's bullshit. You should have just put me in. I should have just fought for that. And I didn't. That's my fault. So I have no problem with doing that, because I took it upon myself, okay, there's a lot of growth long term. I'll do this as this for right now, with the potential of long term being high. I'll take the little bit that they're offering now and come back to it and refresh it after I've shown my ability. So my boss, the general manager that was of that concept, of that location, left and went to the other one. 1 week. Now, mind you, yes, I had been trained to be an assistant manager. I had been trained to do, you know, the supervisor position and do all those things, but I had not been given a full walkthrough on how to run their concept and what their expectations of running their concept were. Because there is a difference. This is where people get it confused. When you go from being just another manager who supervises a shift, that's completely different from when you go into now being the person in charge of the day-to-day concept of that location. Like, you are now, you've gone from just being the person who runs the shift and those couple hours that you're there to now being the person who controls the schedule, the ordering, the payroll processing, the hours, the overtime, the, you know, whether or not somebody comes in, whether they call out, ultimately whether or not you keep them or you fire them. It now all resides on you. And also the delivery of how the concept wants to grow is something that A, should be told to a general manager beforehand, and the expectations. Mind you, yes, for a general manager, you should be setting expectations. I want you to live up to this because I'm expecting you to be of a higher level than the other people who are there, because you are being put in charge of the concept as a whole. The breakdown of that was never given to me. You might talk to my district manager and he'll give you something else, but the truth of it is, no. I was asked, take this over. We'll get to training at some point. For right now, just take it over as it is and do everything you've been doing. But we will call you the general manager. And without it being known to you, you're also going to be responsible. So if something goes wrong, it falls on you. something goes right, hey, we'll praise you for a little bit, but it still falls on you. I went like, okay, I'm looking long-term. Let me not think short-term. Let me look long-term. Long-term, this still holds water. 2 months later. Now, the quarters break up into January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. So when I took over the position in August, I thought to myself, okay, if they're telling me they're not going to put me up to salary now and we will discuss it in the next quarter, okay, so then I have to get through August and through September and boom, in October, boom, we sit down, we discuss, you offer me salary, we go from there. That's fair enough. In my own head, I'm going like, okay, that's fine. Get it. Here comes October. No discussion. Nothing. Mind you, I've fully taken over this concept by this point. And I am doing everything for this restaurant. I'm working 50 to 55 hours, which is the expectation of most general managers in a position of running a restaurant in New York City. If you work 40 hours, you're not doing anything. You're not really doing your job. Because there's so many other little nuances to working and running a restaurant that if you're only there for 40 to 45 hours, you're not really delivering on the concept as a whole. And as much as the president of the company who would come by and go like, oh, if you're here for more than 45 hours, then what are you doing here? Then you're doing something wrong. No, that's incorrect. If I'm here for under 45 hours, I'm doing something wrong. Because this is, you want me to believe that I'm taking this over and it's my business. In order to do that, you're putting in more time with things that you consider yours. When you do that, you're putting in a lot more time. Like, just think about it. The amount of time that I put into this podcast in and of itself, in relation to what I would be putting into running a restaurant, it's like, I'm putting a lot of time into this. So I'd be putting a lot of time into running a restaurant. So we get to September, the end of September. I'm expecting we're going to have a sit down. So I say, okay, when can we sit down and discuss? This is where I begin to notice shifts, changes. The concept is still, the location is still running at high levels. We're still bringing in higher than average sales. We're still turning everything over quickly. We're still delivering on great service. There hasn't been a decrease since my taking over. Now that continues. For this concept, the busiest times are last 2 weeks of November through the first week of January. So it's about an 8 week period where the concept is just bam on overdrive. It's just, you know, where sales would be in the low thousands are now in the high 10 to 12 to 15,000 a day. And that's because of the location. The location is prime New York City location. It's where most of the tourists are coming in. More, you'll have a high level of people coming in, you know. So at this time, 2015, going into the big time New York City tourist time where, you know, everybody's coming in to see the Christmas tree. It's right after Thanksgiving. You have all these people coming through. You know, October came. I skipped a little. I'm talking a little bit later as well. So follow me a little bit because I'm going to go back and forth as I deliver what I'm trying to get across. October comes. And this is where I notice that things go sideways. He pushes it off and goes, oh, no, just wait until the end of the year. We'll discuss it at the end of the year. I'm going like, okay, I still see the long term, but I'm starting to feel a little overworked in the way this whole system is delivered. I was given, when my general manager left, he left and took one of the other assistant managers, because there were two assistant managers and a general manager per location. That's the way it worked. He took one of my assistant, one of the other assistant managers with him to the new location, and in doing so, left me with a new trainee manager and another new trainee manager. Yo, when I say one was good and one was horrible, horrible is an understatement. And I can honestly say the only reason this person had their job was because someone had to have been sleeping with somebody. I'm sorry. I have no other way of putting it. This was... The level of incompetence is just so high that I swear to goodness, by the beginning of November, I was ready to quit because I couldn't take this. Like, I'm telling you this person doesn't work. I'm showing you how they don't work. I'm delivering on the concept. I have to be here at a higher level than I've been before. And you're still not listening to me as my bosses. And you're also not coming back and giving me the pay rate that I want. Now, the reason that I was fighting so much more to become now salary, which was, this was the difference. The difference was that to this point, I was still being paid hourly. Yes, it was more hourly than I was making as an assistant manager, but it wasn't salary. The difference in my mind and the difference in my understanding between the salary position and the hourly position is security, in a sense. In an hourly position, there is no security in the finances that you make. If there's a week that I work 30 hours, I'm only going to get paid for 30 hours, no matter what. Yes, if there's a week that I work 50 hours, I'm going to get paid for, you know, 50 hours, but it's not the same thing. Like, the fluctuation in how much I can make goes up and down so much that I'm left, you know, never knowing exactly how much I'm going to bring home week over week. While if I have a salary, yes, in the overall, it isn't as much in the sense that I can make a lot more in overtime, but there's security in this. Like, look at what's happening right now with this pandemic. Anybody who's salary and had the ability to keep their position, they're still making the same amount, even though they're probably working less hours. They're still going to make the same amount, even though there was a time period where they couldn't work. It's like, there's security in being a salary employee. And also, in my mind, I'm going like, if you put me salary, that puts me on the level of being with the rest of the employees who are salary. The general manager that left was salary. The kitchen manager of my location was salary. The kitchen manager that got brought into the new location was salary. My boss's boss was salary. So at this point, it's just an idea of, okay, you want me here if you're willing to now pay me at the same level as everybody else who you've had here for multiple years. So it's like, okay, this shows a loyalty from you because you're seeing the loyalty that I'm presenting. Hey, you know, this is my thought. If I'm showing you the respect and the loyalty that you're asking for, I expect the same turnaround from you. And I didn't get it. Like, October came, didn't get it there. We get through, as I told you, the busiest season that this concept has. And we're cranking. We're doing great. We're delivering. And, you know, I'm dealing with a shitty manager. Doesn't want to be there. Can't work. A shitty assistant manager doesn't want to be there. Always talking about, I can't work nights. Then why are you here? Like, the position isn't hired for you to only work during the day. You're not a cashier. You know, we aren't expecting only 20 hours. No, this is a 40-hour week concept for an assistant manager to a general manager. So you need to be here for those 40 hours. And sometimes those 40 hours, are you closing? Are you being here till 10, 11 o'clock and closing down the restaurant? Like, where are you lost in this? I'm not going to work 5 days. Now I've gone from having time with my son to barely being home because of the fact that, A, I have to cover shifts she doesn't want to work, and B, I'm working 10 times more hours than I've had before. So it's becoming a joke. And then that's November. You know, eventually they move her out, move her to a different place, and eventually realize she doesn't work, and they have to let her go. So it's like, now you see that it takes you actually moving her and putting her in a different location where she's not working for a new general manager and then coming at me. Like, so in the midst of that, I also find them, they open up their third location. The year time period has now changed. It's not, it's a lot shorter. By the end of December, they're already looking for a new general manager for the second location so they can move the first general manager, my original boss, the guy, let's call him the guy, move the guy over to the third store, the third location. So I know somebody. I have a friend. We've worked together before. This person had been general manager at another concept where we worked together. So recommended, they talk, that person's hired, they take over, boom, they're general manager, they get salary. But like I said, I'm not upset at the amount of money made. I'm upset at the way they went against their word. Because the word was that by the end of the year, boom, we'll have you, we'll put you salary. This person comes in new, of course they're going to fight for salary first because they're not going to come in and just take hourly like I was. I'm coming from a different position, so I understand that I took what I took. They're going to come in and fight for what they want. My problem had started to become, why do I keep having to fight for something that you're saying I'm promising that you're showing is what everybody else is making? And then on top of that, your general managers who make salary also make bonuses structured on how they're doing in the restaurants running. I'm not up for bonus. I don't make salary, so I can't be in the bonus structure. So even though I'm running a successful restaurant and for the last two quarters, it's been running at a high level and bringing in money, and I'm the person in charge of the majority of the things that are happening within this restaurant, even though I'm doing that, I can't make bonus. But my boss from before, the guy, he still can. And he's making bonus from the concept that I'm now running. But I can't make bonus because I'm not salary. So I'm not in there. Like, and that's another thing on top of the original thing. First, no in October. Then December comes and we roll through and I'm finding out that he's making bonus off of the work that I'm doing. Because the concepts he's running aren't yet up to speed at the same level that my concept was. So my location was, I'm sorry, the location that he's running isn't up to the same level as the location that I'm currently running. So now I'm starting to become annoyed with the position. And this is how you lose employees, and this is where the restaurant industry and some most concepts are layered in. This is where it just falters. Because this isn't only happening here. And it hasn't only happened to me. There have been plenty of employees who take a little less, understanding that the possibility of more is so much higher. And because the possibility is so much higher, what we leave ourselves with is this belief that the potential is good enough for us to just, you know, stay, even though they're not giving us the same loyalty we gave them. So December comes around, I'm starting to get annoyed. January comes, and I'm like, okay, we need to sit down and talk salary. Oh, just wait, the president of the company's coming, he'll sit down with you. He comes, never sits down with me. Oh, he'll be back in a couple. I'm feeling played over and over and over again. Now by this point, it's the slower time and the slower season. And when you're running a location and you're running a concept, you have to understand the nuances of sales versus labor. And the more sales you make, the more labor you can have because it balances out. The less sales you make, the less labor you should have. Mind you, let's take this, let's understand this on a bigger scale. If you're a general manager, usually you're working 50 hours a week, 50 to 55. In that, when the company then comes down with a line saying, oh, you need to figure out how to curb your overtime. But if I was a regular general manager, I wouldn't have to worry about curbing my overtime because of the fact that I wouldn't hit the overtime. I would just be salary. So you're just paying me salary. So there is no overtime to hit. But because I'm being paid hourly, there's overtime to hit. So we get through January. This new rule hasn't come into place yet. We get into February. You know, we're not making as much money. We're slowing down. I have to cut a bunch of hours. My staff understands. You know, I try to give a good amount of hours to everybody, but because it's slower, yeah, they have to understand that the hours are cut. So the people who end up working more are the leads of each the general manager, me, my two assistant managers, and, you know, some of the lead people. They're going to work their full hours. There's no way to cut them. We still need people to run the concept as it is. So we work out shifts where people come in for less hours, and we're doing all of this. We're still not exactly where we need to be, but if you take the restaurant as a whole, and you take the whole year, you should be able and willing to take the hit for the first part of the restaurant, knowing that it's slower, and bring it back at the tail end, because you know it's going to be busier. So you take the understanding, okay, my payroll is going to be higher now because I can't get rid of all the staff, because if I do, I'm going to lose the staff. I still need to keep them on, and I'll take the percentage hit now for these first 3 months, because I know in the tail end, at the end, that percentage hit will be much lower because I'm going to be making a lot more money. It's been a consistent thing. You work with patterns when you work in a restaurant. You work with the patterns that have been in this show you this. Yes, you don't want it to be too crazy at the front end where you can't make it up at the back end just in case something like what this pandemic had happened then. You don't want to go overboard in the front end. But, you know, I understood this and I explained that and I thought I got that across. And by March, you know, it started evening itself out. You started to see it, you know, reasonably resetting itself. And, you know, the reduction in hours now going into, you know, end of March, beginning of April, going into then, you started building back up the hours. And then this new rule of overtime comes in. Of course, because I run my location with me still being hourly, April, we're going into April, and I'm still an hourly employee general manager. Because of that, I am now have to reduce overtime while at the same time understanding that I still have to work and deliver on the, you know, things that I need to do. The first week, the rule is this: reduce overtime to a certain level, or else if it doesn't reduce after 2 weeks, you will be written up. Even general managers, you will be written up. Okay. So, I can't have more than 20 hours of overtime. I understand that I have a 2-week threshold to get that done. If at any point I hit 2 weeks straight of being overly overtime, then I get that. But I also explain, you guys want me to be here. If people call out, I have to be here. I'm still hitting hourly, so I'm going to hit. So, if I'm working all my hours and then somebody calls out and I have to be there to help, then I'm left with what? You know, I'm going to go over. There's no way around it, because I could hit the 20 hours myself just by getting to 60. And that's only 10 hours over what my general amount would be. So the first week, it didn't go well. We were about 35 hours of overtime. Completely understood. There was really no way around it, but, you know, okay. The next week, we put a concerted effort to get it back down. We hit the 22 hours of overtime. And mind you, I never agreed with the rule. I didn't want the rule. I didn't think the rule was fair when you had not offered me in any way a position of salary, when that's what that position usually is for a concept, for any concept. So the next week, coming Monday, get an email. Here's a write-up for you and your managers. Now, a write-up is a document that tells you this is where you did incorrectly, and this is us telling you that this is not something good. It goes on your record. Basically, it's a safety net for the employer later on to justify your termination. If they have enough write-ups, they can justify your termination, and then when you go to apply for unemployment, they can argue that your termination was justified because you didn't meet certain standards. And that's what it is. But here's the other way a write-up works. You're not mandated to sign a write-up. No one is ever mandated to sign a write-up. You're not required in any way to sit there and take what they're telling you as fact and then sign it. Wrong. you are required to listen to it, take it in, and have a copy for yourself. And that's what we did. Mind you, yes, because I'm the general manager, no matter what happens, it's always going to fall on me. So when my managers came to me by the end of the day with the write-ups and handed them over to me and said, refuse to sign at the bottom of the write-ups, when mine said the same thing, and we scanned them and emailed them to my boss, yeah, he got a little perturbed and annoyed, and he got on a phone call with me. Mind you, I had to go. I needed to go pick up my son. It was already late. I was going to be late to pick him up, which is never a good thing. So he called as I was about to leave. I picked up the phone, and we get into a 10-minute discussion where he berates me as an employee, and towards the end of the discussion, just on the phone, asked me, is this the type of manager you want to be? And I explained to him calmly, because I was getting annoyed, I explained to him calmly, like, yeah, this is exactly the type of manager I'm going to be. When something doesn't make sense, I will stand up against it, and I explain to you why this didn't make sense. So, no, I'm not just going to stand here and take it and just sign a write-up because you want me to. That's not the way this works. And I hung up and I left for the day. Of course, I still kept my job, but this becomes the shift in mindset for the location. This is May now. This all started to happen in May. 5 months past the point of where you should have had me on salary. A year, nearly a year past the point where you put me in the position that I'm currently in. And yeah, while you raised me for the position and increased my amount of pay, you've never come back and increased my amount of pay ever again. So, this goes on, and we get there, and we're in April, we're in May, and then we're in June, and they asked to make a general manager switch. So my old boss comes in, takes back his original location, and I go over to the third new location, the brand newest location, the third location. And I'm asked to take that over. And I'm going to be honest and straight. By this point, I didn't care. By this point, I was like, you guys don't give a shit about me. I've been here working, doing everything you asked, delivering on what you've asked, and doing the best job that I could. Of course, things happen along the way. Sometimes things happen out of your control. Sometimes you're in control and you tell your boss, hey, we're not going to sign that. And that's what happens. So, I took that. They moved me. And this is 2016. And I spend the rest of the year running the newest location. I don't think I ever hit over 45 hours at the new location. Never. A, it wasn't necessary. That location was 10 times slower. It was never that busy. It wasn't the best operation. It just, they chose a poor location. Like, the foot traffic outside was horrible. The amount of customers to come in was bad. The marketing was bad. The way you delivered, like, I'd been telling them for years, get on Instagram and get out there and get your message across and put something out every single day so that people feel like you're connecting with them. That never happened. Come on, let's do something. Let's market better. Let's get out there. Do all these things. That never happened. Like, this location was just, it was destined to fail. Looking further into the future, a couple years later, it did fail. It closed down. That location closed down, and the second location closed down, and only left them with one location. So, So, January comes. January. Oh, lovely times in January. This will officially be just under 2 years of working for them. Remember, I got hired in April 2015. It is now January 2017. January comes. I'm sitting there. And, we're having our weekly general manager meetings. And we're going through what we go through in these meetings. We're talking about the different locations. We're talking about how each one works and how they don't. What's being done. And then it comes to my location. And once again, as I was doing in the previous location, we're running well. He comes and he says, oh, you all, the rest of you should learn from Jerry's location. They're running their payroll at the lowest they can, and yes, while it is still high in comparison to the sale, there's nothing else they can do. Like, we're working with the minimal amount of staff, they're doing the minimal amount of stuff that they can do, and they're still trying to deliver all they can. And, you know, I'm getting praised, and I'm going like, yay, cool, you're praising, woohoo, whoop-de-doo. Then at some point, now, mind you, I look back at what happened in January of 2017, and I go like, did I kind of overreact? I didn't overtly react. Did I get annoyed and pissed off enough where I stopped giving a crap completely after this interaction? Was it wrong? Was it dumb? What was it? Like, I look back on it quite often and I go like, what was this? So, mind you, here's January, we're sitting at this general manager meeting, and he starts talking. The district manager, who's been the same district manager the whole time, he starts, you know, talking about the concept, and talking about my position, and then at some point, he just turns and starts saying, oh, mind you, at this point, they hired a whole bunch of new people, all salary. So I'm feeling disrespected on a higher level. But these are people at a different position within the concept's overall company. So yeah, it's not the same thing, but they've hired a whole bunch of people and they're paying them salary. And he turns to me and he goes like, oh, you know, Jerry, just like your position, you know, we're testing things out with you being paid hourly, and we're seeing how that works for, you know, the long term, and it might be something we do for everybody, but, you know, your way is definitely a test. I'm going like, what? Huh? Are you telling me that my year of being general manager, my nearly 2 years of working for you, is a test for you? Is a test run to see what could work? You haven't offered. I got pissed. Like, I was so heated in my mind and in my, I was ready to just curse out my boss at that very moment. Like, I don't know, to this day, I don't know what held me back from just spewing out venom and ripping into him for even delivering the message in that way. Like, I felt disrespected on so high a level that I do not know how I kept it together. Oh, I didn't completely keep it together. I literally sat there and looked at him and go like, this meeting's over, right? And he goes like, oh, I don't, what do you mean? I'm like, no, I'm saying this meeting's over. I'm leaving. And I got up and I didn't say anything to him. I didn't even say goodbye to him. I left my restaurant, went outside, saw my old boss, my old general manager, and I turned to him and I'm like, you need to talk to him, because whatever he thought was good for him to say at that very moment was fucking disrespectful. And honestly, I'm done. That was horrible. After 2 years to be considered a test, to be disrespected so much and be called the whole thing of what I've been doing, a test run, just felt so disrespectful. So from that point forward, I stopped caring. And in April, 2 years to the date of my hiring, they let me go. By that point, I saw it coming. I didn't care. I was barely working 40 hours. I was just working to get paid, going out, not really caring how the restaurant was doing the overall, not really caring about my position. You know, 2 years, man. Like, this is where the whole reason for my thought process behind the restaurant life comes from. Because it's like, how can you be so disrespected when you've shown nothing but respect and loyalty for the position that you're given? I didn't get it. 2 years. And I felt that I had given them trust, and I had given them respect, and I had come in every day, and I had worked my ass off, and I had done everything I could. And the only infraction I could think of was me not signing a write-up because I didn't agree with the way you were delivering your overtime message when you wouldn't pay me out. Like, mind you, this all stems from my belief that the training wasn't adequate for the position. Like, even after 2 years, I can't honestly tell you what the hell was the point of my position in the overall. I developed my own idea of what it should be, but I never got a full sit down and an understanding of what it is you wanted me to do in particular, other than the general ideas of what a general manager should be. You would try to implement things to make the position seem like it was more than just a job, but by the end of it, when you're being strung along for so long and being told, oh, you'll have this soon enough, you'll have this soon enough, you'll have this soon, and then not getting it, and then on top of that, being written up for something that in some way can be out of your control sometimes, and then being told that your whole time there is now being considered a test, yeah, it becomes bullshit. And then so many restaurants don't get when they're disrespecting their employees because the only level of respect they care about is the one that's given to them. There is no belief that respect is given on both sides. There's none. It's you respect the restaurant or fuck it. Like, or screw you. Yeah. Ultimately, this episode was supposed to be about training, but it's about the lack of respect that most, if not all, restaurants deliver. I think that's the big overall of behind restaurant life. There's so much. Just give your employees the respect and the care that they deserve for the job that they're doing, and stop acting like assholes at every second of the day that you can. Like, they weren't getting complaints from my employees about the job that I was doing. They weren't getting complaints from customers about the job that I was doing. The sales weren't dipping into an area where there was no reason to have me there. No, there was none of those kind of things. The only thing that you have to hold on to is me not signing a write-up, and then your decision not to pay me salary coming back and being that it's... still pisses me off to this day. It's been 3 years and I still get irritated and annoyed and peeved and pissed off to a level that just doesn't make sense. But yeah. So this allowed me to get it out, to get my side of it out. You're gonna have to find out what restaurant that was to get their side of it. It's probably a completely different story, and they'll probably give you some bullshit. But that's probably how both sides feel about the other side. So, I thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for sticking around for another episode. And we shall see you next time.